embarked on a task that I thought would take one sermon, but it looks like it's going to be many. It's understandable why. If you look at the title, What is the Bible All About? So today we're going to start reading from Genesis 1 and end up in 22, verse 21. Let's see how fast I can do it. No. We're going to look at some of the dichotomies that we see in Scripture from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, verse 21, to discover what the Bible is all about. Well, I can give you the short answer. Well, it's all about everything, literally. And thus ends my presentation for the day. I really could end here and let everyone just consider that statement, but nevertheless, here are just a few things I considered when I pondered this ominous question. The Holy Bible is about creation and destruction, the first and the last, the Aleph and the Tau, the beginning and the ending, light and darkness, law and chaos, truth and lies, spiritual and physical, binding and loosening, obedience and rebellion, righteousness and evil, angels and demons, loving and hating, blessing and cursing, establishing and demolishing, keeping and relinquishing, separating and reconciling, committing and hesitating, succeeding and failing, unity and division, liberty and slavery, equality and hierarchy, eternity and the present, that which is finished and that which is still in progress. There is one more dichotomy. I mean, there's many more, but there's one more with which we will conclude this series of discussions that seem to encapsulate all of the above. But we'll get to that at the end of the series. Before we dive into these dichotomies, let me say that while I was pondering the dialectics above, I recalled a scripture of which my subconscious mind must have been pondering, eventually making it known to my conscious self, Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8. To everything, there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. How perfect and complete is the word of Yahweh. How blessed and wise are those who trust and meditate on the word of Yahweh. We will examine these verses in Ecclesiastes later in much more detail. For now, though, let us consider a portion of the first presentation of what the Bible is all about. Creation and destruction, the first and the last, the Aleph and the Tau, the beginning and the ending. Under creation, we find Genesis 1:1, which is probably a good place to start. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Now, the word created here is the Hebrew word bara, bara. It is found 55 times in the Tanakh, all of which are reserved only for use in reference to Yahweh Elohim. No man can bara, create, only Yahweh Elohim. In Hebrew, it's Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim v'et haaretz. Now notice the Aleph and the Taw in Genesis 1 verse 1, pronounced et. It has no makesh, which is a grammatical marker, a raised horizontal line, if you can see on here. Oops, okay. A raised horizontal line to the left of the taw, and the taw is on our left, if you're looking at it, indicating the subject of the verb. In this case, the subject is Elohim, and the verb is creates. It's simply a grammatical mark, that makesh, that line. But if you notice, in that scripture, there is no line on the Aleph and Taw. It's not a grammatical mark here. And even some of the wise men of the past didn't understand what that was all about. But it is here, as in many places in Scripture, literally a sign of Yahshua's presence. It is the Aleph and the Taw, the Aleph being the first letter of the alphabet and the Taw being the last. He never said, I am the Alpha and Omega. He's Hebrew. He said, I am the Aleph and the Taw. And we can see that even more when we look at the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with. And the Greek word, the next Greek word there is actually two of them, ton teon, which means the Almighty. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with. Who's the Almighty? The Almighty? Yahweh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh. And the Word was, and the next Greek word there is teos. Not ton teon, but teos, which means mighty one. So who's the mighty one underneath Yahweh? Well, that's Yahshua. So I love reading that verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahshua. I know it doesn't say that in the Greek, but that's what it's pointing to. In Genesis 1:1, that's where we see that word, which is next to the word Elohim. Bereshit bara Elohim et. Aleph and Taw. That is Messiah. And if you look at it even further, you'll see that there are three words to the left of the et and three words to the right. Bereshit bara Elohim, that's all about Elohim. Et is in the center. Hashamayim v'et haaretz, and the heavens and the earth. And here's the earth. So we have heaven and earth in the form of a menorah with Messiah in the center. Anyway, it's fascinating. That's creation. Let's talk a little bit about destruction. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 8. Since it is a righteous thing with Elohim to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Master Yahshua is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know Yahweh and on those who do not obey the evangel of our Master Yahshua Messiah. Verse 9. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Now, just to pay attention to the word destruction, it means complete and total consumption. Eternal or everlasting destruction doesn't mean that a person's in process of being destroyed eternally. The lake of fire is a place where one is consumed completely. The fire is eternal, but the individual is not. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Master and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. to the Corinthians, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:24, then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to Yahweh the Father, when he puts an end to, or when he destroys, all rule and all authority and power. Paul is describing the time after the millennial reign of Messiah, after all evil and death have been destroyed, when Yahweh and Yahshua sit with the saints in the everlasting kingdom. Yahweh remains in heaven while we are here on earth in the kingdom. And after destruction, Yahweh then sits with Messiah, with us. In Luke 1, beginning in verse 30, we read, "Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with Yahweh. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Yahshua. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and Yahweh Elohim will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob," the house of Israel, "forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Okay, so we can talk about some kingdom coming to an end and others not coming, or one that's not going to come to an end. All right, let's focus a little bit on the first and the last. In Matthew 19, beginning of verse 29, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake," in other words, in obedience to his authority, "shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Now, I've struggled with this for years before studying Scripture after being called out, and it didn't really make too much sense to me. I could read the parable and, you know, the workers in the vineyard, but it didn't make any sense to me until I looked in the Greek and found out what the Greek words there mean. According to the common use of Greek words in verse 30, it can also be interpreted, "But many who are honored will be shamed, and the shamed honored." That makes sense to me. That's part of the promises that Yahshua makes. Do not be lifted up in your own eyes. And this is clarified in the parable of the next chapter in Matthew, about the workers in the vineyard, the last hired of whom received the same pay as those who worked the entire day. Matthew 20, verse 16, "So the last will be first and the first last." And here's the explanation. "For many are called, but few are chosen." Many are called, but few chosen. Many people are called. Many people feel the Spirit calling them, but because they don't know where to look, they don't know where to find, they find someone who will gladly teach them things that are not true. In Matthew 20, going back 8 verses, I want to show you a comparison here. The verse reads in English, "So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.'" Then written below this verse is its figurative meaning. "So when the end of the seventh millennial day had come, Yahweh the creator of the heavens and the earth said to his son, Yahshua, 'Call the chosen ones and give them their eternal reward, beginning with the last to the first.'" Well, why? Or how? How can this be? Why aren't the first ones the ones who are rewarded first? Well, I believe that, as is spoken in Scripture, wisdom and knowledge will increase. We have been given a gift of a better understanding with the New Testament and the teachings that are in it, aside from the false truths that have been taught in and about the New Testament. There is great wisdom in the New Testament that sheds light on the Old. And as we read in the Old, we see the fulfillment of many of the prophecies in the New Testament. Okay, a little bit about the Aleph and the Tau. Revelation 1, verse 8. I am the Aleph and the Tau, the beginning and the end, says the Sovereign, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Now, the phrase who is and who was and who is to come is a much used phrase, being part of many, many songs. And it fits our English grammar perfectly, because in our English grammar there are three tenses: the past, the present, and the future. So who is the present, who was is the past, and who will be or will come is the future. But there are only two tenses in Hebrew. The phrase who is and was and who is to come is a hyphenated collection of Greek words in Strong's Concordance, and that word is number 3108. All these words put together. And it means the one being and the one that was and the one coming. Okay? The two tenses in Hebrew are let me put it this way. The correct meaning fits perfectly with Hebrew grammar, which has only two tenses. That which is complete is one tense, and that which is in process of being completed is the second tense. English grammar has three tenses: the past, present, and future. So when we read it according to the words in the Greek, we see that really there's only two tenses there. The one who was established, and the one who is coming, who's in the process of coming. But we interpret that first part as the present tense. Interesting. We could perhaps read that verse: I am the Aleph and the Tau, the beginning and the end, says the Sovereign, the one being and the one that was and the one coming, the Almighty. Two verses later, John writes, I was in the spirit on the day of Yahweh, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Aleph and the Tau, the first and the last. Revelation 21, verses 6 and 7. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Aleph and the Tau, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his Elohim, and he shall be my son. Revelation 22, verses 12 and 13. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every one according to his work. I am the Aleph and the Tau, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. As you can see, we've only scratched the surface of examining what the Bible is all about. And in the next series of discussions, we will delve into a much deeper discussion. Yahweh knows how long this series of discussions about the Bible, what the Bible is all about, will last. This is simply an introduction. But foreshadowing the possibility of great understanding and eventually wisdom. Hallelujah.